Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
People have always been enamored with, including myself, with stuff blowing up. I had a problem when I was a kid, and there's data out there suggesting that boys are like this. I had a problem with fires, starting fires, and with blowing stuff up. We would make crazy stuff and blow it up. And we would light massive fires. I'm not defending it. I'm not saying it was smart or prudent, but that's the way it is. That bridge implosion enamored a lot of folks, and I'm not surprised at all by the fact that folks gathered last night to try and watch it safely. I don't really respect folks criticizing PennDOT and how long it's taken. That's a really tough thing. It's a badass journey they're on. And I think they've been amazing in terms of access with information. Don't you, Rez?
I couldn't agree more. Right. In fact, the topic of our editorial that we'll be starting this weekend is to congratulate PennDOT on how smoothly this has all gone so far.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy. And it's dangerous, and they've done it the right way. And by the way, it's rare for a public entity to give us so much access to information and video and that sort of thing, too.
It's amazing. The responsiveness of especially Jason Zhang. I mentioned that earlier this morning with Larry. So accessible and, you know, ready to provide whatever information they do have.
Yeah, it's a big deal, and it means a lot to the region, and we're going to carry that news. They're having a newser here in about 20 minutes. We're going to carry it live.
Oh, great.
Raz, I wanted you here for something that you said that's actually so relevant. And it's the middle of summer, and most people are at the Jersey Shore, so they don't give a damn. And maybe that's why they release these port reports then. But my man, forget the bridge. Forget that that's a pain in the ass. This pension thing, Raz, man, my brother, this is a friggin' tsunami, sir.
That is a four-alarm fire in a news story right there.
Kind of go through the bullet points of what you're reporting, and I'm reaching out to the treasurer. We're going to get her on here to kind of get into the minutiae of this. But kind of lay out for people. It's a $1.4 billion deficit, sir.
Yes, the treasurer has done some forecasting, and the pension system is underfunded by about $1.4 billion.
Oh.
Massive infusions of cash are needed to prevent the, you know, a meltdown. So to keep it solvent, the estimate is they'll need an additional $100 million a year for 20 years. And they're already talking about tax increases to help deal with that. And at least one of the four county taxes would have to go up, if not a combination. And those are property taxes, earned income taxes, sales taxes, and payroll taxes.
Oh, hold on.
Not all four, but some of them are one of them.
But hold on, Rez. And, my man.
On top of a 38% property tax increase a year ago.
And in the city, 20%.
Yep.
My man, this is real. This is not going away. There's not some magic bullet or some check from the government or the governor, right?
No, it's not. And at least the treasurer is getting the word out now. It's at least we're finding out about it now.
What did you say the four possible increases?
Again, it's property, earned income, sales, or payroll.
Payroll. So
some of those are big enough maybe that they'd be able to put a pretty good dent in it. But again, it's a tax increase.
So the longer they delay, Raz, ma'am, this hole gets deeper, brother.
The question is, how soon do they have to act before they're in real trouble? It's kind of like the Social Security story.
Yes.
It's going to be insolvent in like 32, I think they said it was, 2032, unless they do something now to avoid the problem. I don't know what the must-buy date is in this story yet, but there's got to be one.
You know what's wild, Raz, is that the treasurer, she's actually pretty cool. She says that this deficit will not go away until 2043. Brother.
There you go. There it is.
Whoa.
So that's the Dubai date.
Come on, man.
$100 million a year for 20 years.
Come on. And Raz, they're saying This is actually crazy money. If people wrap their arms around this, they're saying that it's going to require Allegheny County and the Airport Authority to dedicate annually at least $140 to $150 million to make this thing solvent. And an additional $100 million on top of what they give now.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Raz, it's insurmountable in my little world.
Well, you know, and the way I look at it is what is $100 million a year in an annual budget for the county? What's the county's annual budget? $6 trillion?
No. A billion?
Yeah. So, I mean, you try to get it into perspective and get some idea. You know, what's missing here that I'm wanting to find out is what kind of cuts can be made to shift that money over to the pension fund?
You know, they're starting to complain about they let guys retire with $200,000 pensions. A lot of folks want to blame my lifelong friend Fitz that he kicked a can down the road. Joe Rocky was on this show saying Rich Fitzgerald is to blame. If you ask Fitz, he didn't raise taxes for 13 years and ran the county in a way that most people haven't, which is very efficiently. But now they have some insane choices to make. And Raz, here's the thing. We're trying to inspire people to stay here and businesses to come here. And if they present you with, and by the way, you're going to have a massive tax increase, whether it's property, earned income, sales, or payroll.
Not to mention the Parental Leave Act.
Yes.
18 weeks in which the employer alone is responsible for paying the salary of an employee who's going to be on parental leave for 18 weeks, which is 6 weeks more than the national standard
and
of 12.
And, Raz, to your point, most of these plans that are in place now are funded by a state. This isn't funded by anyone. This is an unfunded mandate.
Parental leave.
Right on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, in some states, I understand that, you know, employees help pay into. Yep. It's a cooperative program between the government and employees.
Hey, it's going to be very difficult. Blame Inamorata all you want, but this pension thing was dumped in her lap.
No, yeah, this is not one person's doing at all.
But at the end of the day, Raz, if you're trying to inspire big business to come here, they're going to say, hell no. Raz, I'm going to Butler County 8 days a week, brother, over this, right? If you're talking about taxes.
I now live in Butler County.
Damn straight, brother. I wanted to bring him into this because when he said that this morning, the red flags went up fast because this is a disaster. And in the minutia of our lives and watching a bridge implode and thinking about vacation in that thing, this is massive. Try to wrap your arms around a county that's pretty much broke, that has to raise $100 million a year for 20 years just to get back to even. And then, if they don't do it, jacking around retirees that have busted their ass for this county for their entire career.
Well, that's another issue there.
Right
is recruitment. What person wants to go to work for the county where one of the greatest benefits is knowing that you put in your 20 and you get a nice pension?
It's a disaster. Folks, we're on it. We are not letting go. This is a big, big deal.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
I wanted to raise this issue this morning because it's a paramount. I find it a little bit daunting. I love this town. I was raised here. It's my town. It's where I raised my family. But I've seen this happen before in cities that are failing, in counties that are failing, in regions that are failing. And what they do is they lose population. They start to panic. and they have a bank account that's depleted. It's no different when you lose a job and you're paying all your bills out of your savings, and at some point your savings gone, and then you got kids in college and you feel guilty about taking out loans, so you start blowing away your 401k. You're just trying to do the right thing. This county is in difficult scenario from an economic standpoint. You can hear all the rosy predictions you want and all the positivity you need, but the truth of the matter is that we're in trouble. And I'm not blaming anyone here. This isn't my job. My job isn't to say he sucks, she sucks, it's their fault, it's our fault. What we collectively have to do is make it better, and we cannot screw over folks in the pension plan. We just can't. You know, I'm an idiot about finances, although we're very prudent about saving. All I did was call a couple people and say, why don't we put our money in an index fund? Why don't we put... If you pay any attention to these pensions around the country, the people that put their money into index funds, and in my ignorant way, the only way to explain is the fund ebbs and flows the way the market has, and the market's exploded. There is no way in hell that we would have this deficit if they had simply put their money from the pension fund into an index fund attached to the stock market, and they didn't. They made horrible, horrible decisions. A lot of people, to blame Fitz alone is narrow-minded and ignorant. There's 1,000 people making these choices, the pension board, the Weinsteins of the world. Everybody had choices to make here. And let me be honest, too. It's kind of like what people do with the college loan debt. They owe $300,000-$400,000, and they just kind of sort of blow it off and put it off because they don't want to pay it. I'm hoping this is the county treasurer here. And at the end of the day, all we're trying to do is get back to normal here. And I'll tell you whose fault this isn't if you want to blame someone. This has nothing to do with the treasurer. Right. Good morning, folks. How are you?
We're doing all right.
Is this, who am I talking to? I'm sorry, this is so hastily put together.
This is Eric Hiroki-Brussler, the Allegheny County Treasurer. Oh. Thanks for inviting us onto the show.
You're the best. I saw Maria had her name had popped up. I love her. I love how engaged she is. And how
she's wonderful,
and she stepped up quickly to get this done. So
she does. I'm glad you're hearing that. I'm glad you're feeling better and back on.
Oh my gosh, it was brutal. Hey, help me with wrap our arms around this. This is a big, big deal, isn't it? Big.
This is a deal we've sort of understood for a long time, and the thing we're talking about is the Allegheny County Pension Plan.
Yep.
In a recent report that came out of the working group from the retirement system, the system is $1.4 billion underfunded. And this is, we've known this for a long time, but this is the first time that we've seen a plan for a roadmap for how we can solve this issue.
It is. To be blunt, Erica, there's no way out of this without raising taxes somehow. Yes. Some kind of tax. Yes.
We need to secure an additional revenue stream to pay down to put money in these fundies to fund these promises.
From someone like you who lives numbers, is so actuarial, it's rather daunting, isn't it, to think of $100 million a year for 20 years? That's rather, it's massive, is it not?
It might feel massive, right? But we're a big county, and we have a large tax base. And so it is something that can be done. And I believe there's a political will at this time, from our county leadership, from our partners at the state to, work to find a solution for how we can, find this money to fund these promises.
People, as you know, and you're very cognizant of this, they just got a tax increase, whether in the city or the county, and now they're hearing this. It's disheartening for them. Do you worry that it disincentivizes people for wanting to bring a business here or live here?
I think I think our folks understand that there are a lot of services that are provided by their governments, right? And that's everything from public safety to care for vulnerable citizens, to our health department that, you know, makes sure all of our eateries are properly inspected, to the roads we drive on. So there's, right, every day we're using these county infrastructures, and you mentioned the city, right? Similar infrastructure in the city.
Yep.
And so there is a long-term cost to that, and at times we see adjustments. And, right, this is one of those times. There hadn't been a property tax increase in, I think, the 12 or 13 years
sure.
prior to the most recent
sure.
one.
Sure.
And we've seen, as is shown in this report, this pension underfunded obligations been growing since 2004. And so it wasn't getting paid for in the way that it potentially could have, right, in the last 20 years. And so we need to right this ship now, or it'll be an even bigger number if we put it off longer.
No, we can't hide from this. Erica Brusselaar, the county treasurer, is being very blunt and honest, and I respect and admire that. You tell us the options for getting this $100 million for 20 years, Erica.
The options laid out by the report from our consultant Sarah Emmons, the four broad taxes that, like, putting one in place could generate this kind of revenue. They look like an earned income tax, a payroll tax, a sales tax, or additional property tax. And then the report lays out dozens of other revenue options that were examined, and some, you know, could be feasible, but they come in at a smaller dollar amount.
Erica, isn't it fair to suggest, without blaming any one person, that this can was kicked down the road and that's why we're in this hole? Isn't it fair to say that this should have been addressed sooner?
I'm just going to say, you know, I knew about the problem before I came into office, and I committed to really taking a big light and shining it on the situation, and coming up with an understanding of how we got here, and formulating solutions that we could act upon. And so I'm really glad we've been able to do that work. You know, I've been in office not even 3 years yet, and we've gotten this this big, clear roadmap for how to do things out.
For folks who are angry about this, and they are, who feel like they're going to be dumped on, what do you tell them?
It would just be more expensive if we had waited longer.
Right on. It's a pain that's out there. It ain't going away. I appreciate your honesty. I honestly appreciate you coming on the air so quickly. And we got to accept the truth here, and that's the damn truth. Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time, Marty. I really appreciate it.
And
have a great day.
I thank Maria for hustling so much to get this done.
I thank Maria every 10 minutes, so I will thank her the second we get off the phone.
Sweet.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All right, folks, this is the PennDOT news conference following the implosion of the bridge. Listen.
First thing I asked the project managers at Fay is, when do you think you're going to slide the bridge? And I said, what kind of equipment do you need to get down here now to clean up this mess? I said, is there anything in particular? His answer was everything and anything that we got. Where everything is, all of it is coming down to the site. So they are going gangbuster already down there. First step is to establish access. There's a bridge laying down there on the ground, so they got to get themselves access for the trucks to get in and out. They're already breaking up the concrete pieces, so our best guess, the next major portion of this bridge project is to slide the new bridge into place. We expect that to happen next week sometime, okay? So what else did I want to talk about? We don't talk about the traffic routes. The detours are running smoothly. I wouldn't say the traffic has lightened up much over the week. Certain days it seems to go up, certain days it seems to go down. It ebb and flows. Seems like a little bit more people are out on the roads today. Maybe tomorrow, Friday, less people be on the roads. But the important thing to say is we do appreciate the public. They are still staying away somewhat from the area, which is allowing the detours to flow. They're flowing heavy, and we would expect that, but they're flowing very well. Our team continues to monitor them around the clock, make adjustments. Of course, you know, we had a water main break last night on one of the main detour routes. We were out there assisting the water authority there. PennDOT crews were out there helping to pave that. So all hands on deck to get that back open. They got that back open last night. So what else am I forgetting?
Is PennDOT a newser live about the implosion of the bridge?
On the bridge that appear do not come down, will that be will those be removed manually? Will there be a second implosion?
No, we are done blowing things up, I hope, for the next 10 years maybe around here. And by the way, the last time we imploded a bridge was in 2016, so that was 10 years ago, but that was whole. But no, that was by plan. They were not intended to be imploded. They will be brought down using mechanical, you know, conventional methods.
Yeah. You brought the bridge down this morning pretty much right in your window, right at the top of the window. Why weren't you able to bring it down in that 8-hour window yesterday?
Nothing went wrong other than we were probably overly ambitious trying to get it done, and we ran out of daylight. That's really all that happened last night was we ran out of daylight. We knew we had an ambitious plan. If we didn't try to get it done last night, we had zero chance of getting it done. So we gave it a shot. The demolition contractor felt pretty confident they could get it done by 7 p.m. last night, which gave us about an hour and a half of additional time. But as we started to get near 8 o'clock, it starts to get darker. The people that were in the woods, patrolling the woods, they're calling in saying, it's getting pretty dark under the cover of the trees. So, you know, we just decided that it was the right call to let's just push this to tomorrow morning. Just give ourselves more time to be completely ready. So that's really what happened. We just ran out of time.
There was some speculation that maybe there was vandalism. Is there any truth to that?
No, there was no vandalism. Nothing went wrong. You know, I talked about the hot temperatures earlier. Maybe that slowed the workers down. I mean, I was standing here last night in the sun sweating, and they were working the whole time. And as I was trying to explain too, like, every piece of dynamite was triple wrapped. One wrap with a material, a geofabric material. Then it was wrapped with chain link fence. Then it was wrapped again with another layer of material. The blast went extremely well. I mean, if you look, I mean, it's incredible. To me, that was one of the highest risks operations of this project. I've watched too many engineering disaster shows, so I was nervous about that coming down. It came down perfectly. I commend the demolition crew. That was amazing work. We just ran out of time. That really all was. Yeah.
So the debris that's down now, you said moving that out is first. How does that work, and where's all that going?
John, do you know exactly where we're sending it?
The concrete and rebar are all being recycled and be used in the future.
But do you know where they're hauling it to?
I think the concrete debris is being hauled to Oakmont area, where it's going to be crushed and then recycled. And all the rebar, as Jason mentioned, as they're crushing it, they're able to pull the rebar out, and that will be sent out to a scrapyard to be recycled.
How quickly will this take place?
That's a good question. Like I said, I'm thinking several days. So sometime next week we'll be ready. So the priority is to uncover the sliding tracks and the new piers and the new foundations down there. So that's the priority. So there's a lot of material down there. And then we also covered them. The contractor has done a fantastic job protecting them. So they've got like a geofoam on top of them. They've got plywood. They've got railroad ties. They've got gravel. Then they've got topsoil. So we wanted to make sure that nothing was damaged when the old bridge hit it.
So the inspection has already taken place. There is no damage to the other bridge?
Right. No. Well, just maybe some scratches. I mean, nothing big. We'll paint it.
Live at the implosion of the Commercial Street Bridge, PennDOT news conference.
Yeah, that was part of the demolition plan. They didn't plan to explode that. They'll bring that down with conventional means. So the explosive demo was limited to the arches. the arch spans. So it's really easy. It just didn't need to explode that part. It's just, they can knock that down, chip that down with the excavator, hoe rams, and the processing equipment.
Did you see any kind of small bits of debris fly during the explosion?
Oh, yes, yes. It was debris everywhere. It looks like a bomb went off down there. That's a little joke, yeah. It looks like World War II down there. Yeah.
Is still 24-hour day work?
Oh, yes. Yep, 24-hour day till we get this parkway open, yep.
Is the debris, the process of the debris included in that 25-day? I know we were saying 25 days from start to finish. The fact that there is an amount of debris down there, is that included in that 25 days?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they expected this. Yeah, yeah. This is probably the next big push is to gain access to the sliding rails, sliding tracks. And they're not going to be overly concerned with concrete that's not in their way. The primary focus is to slide the bridge now. So, but they're going to have to move some of it out of the way just to get to it. Like I said, they have to establish access. That's the focus, is removing all that debris down there.
And that doesn't have to be done before this bridge can be open.
No. We have to get it out of the way of the sliding tracks, obviously. Right. But yeah, we'll clean it up after the bridge is open.
Continue after we get the bridge in place, of course, right?
Right.
Yep.
Jason, can you walk us through how that process works with the demolition yesterday? Charges not in the right place? Did it just take more time than they expected? What was going on?
Yeah, so as I already said a few times, nothing went wrong. Everything was in the right place.
Oh, we got it.
It just took
so they did a hell of a job. PennDOT's been amazing. The simple way they've been communicating has been amazing. The video has been amazing. The process has been amazing. And they're right on track. And everything went off really well today. I respect and admire the fact that they're telling you this and allowing us access. It makes things a lot easier. They're on track to finish this thing in the 21 days. Good for them. And no one was hurt. And everything went well. And I love all of it. It's fantastic. In summary, they did a hell of a job bringing that bridge down. And by the way, I want to thank Tamara Rush. She kicked ass getting out there and set up and allowing us to stream that live. It's important information. I also love the way Ellen's kept us up to date on the transit situation, because you don't want to get to one of those lots and there's no place to park. That just annoys people. But what's paramount to me is the discussion that we started this show with, and that is this friggin' pension disaster. 800 people screwed this up. 8,000 ignored it. I honestly wish I would have known. I was texting my boy Andy Sheen, who I love. Why didn't we point this crap out? Honestly, I kind of take some blame for being ignorant on this. I wish I would have known. We would have made people pay attention 5 years ago. I would have pushed Fitz 5 years ago, John Weinstein 5 years ago, pension board members 5 years ago. It doesn't dismiss their responsibility for not being responsible, but this is bad. And it's a screw job for citizens in Allegheny County. Let me read some notes from one of my boys who's in real estate. I just got off the phone. Since this shortfall in Allegheny County hit, real estate folks that I know are getting several phone calls requesting their house search location out of Allegheny County. I believe it. They're looking in Washington, Butler, and Westmoreland County. I believe it. Jake the Snake, call it as you see it, brother. Truth to power.
Truth to power?
Yeah.
We get PennDOT downtown to implode Grand Street.
Oh my gosh.
I think that should be their next job.
That's freaking beautiful. Smithfield, bro.
Come on.
Smithfield.
I've been complaining about this. We have a problem with revenue generation, which in regards to all the properties out there, and I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to say this one more time. That the old Mellon Bank building on Grant Street, I've asked this 50 times to anybody who will listen. There is not a plan to get that thing moving and get revenue generation. You're right. Inamorato's not to blame, but she's not the person for the job. She just isn't. She doesn't know how to generate. She doesn't know how to generate revenue. She doesn't know how to bring business in, and she doesn't care to bring business in.
But hold on, Jake. Jake, I get that, but she is what she is. We're stuck with her. With all due respect to her and her, her baby. What we have to figure out, my man, is how the hell do we come up with $100 million a year, brother, for 20 years? Huh?
You know how it's going to come down. They're going to raise property taxes again because that's the only place they can
hold
get
on.
Cash.
Here's what they say. Property tax, earned income, sales tax, or payroll tax? Jesus.
All of it. All of it. They're going to raise all of it because that's what how much money they need. Because... And with all due respect to all the social issues that they're responsible for, I know Trump calls Bethany Hallam every day about immigration and about transgendered issue. I mean, they can't be dealing with the with their job when they have to
handle. Here's my thing, brother. Let's be adults here. The adults in power for the last 10 years should have taken care of this. And that's the damn
anybody in power.
That's right, brother.
Anybody.
That's right. Kicking the can down the road saying, I'm not raising taxes doesn't help us today, does it, Jake?
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't
at all.
It's a disaster. It's embarrassing, and it's scary. Good, Chris. Thanks for your patience, brother.
Yeah, I guess I wish at some point in time you'd talk about the impact on retirees with fixed incomes.
Right on.
Taxes continue to go up.
That's right.
The cost of living continues
to
go up.
That's right.
Energy prices have actually doubled, and it's just unbelievable how people who own their own homes,
I agree,
but are on fixed incomes, they have no future. They're going to have to sell their homes or lose their homes.
Right on.
And I moved here years ago and really loved this area.
Same.
And now I'm looking at the poor people that are fixed income. Social Security isn't keeping up. That Social Security is going to take a major hit in about 7 years.
True.
They're talking about cutting Social Security by 25%. Every elderly person that's on Social Security that owns a home might as well think about they're going to lose that home because tax. How do you recover, $100 million a year without
income
and property taxes?
Chris, I don't know.
This is an impossible situation for people who are retired.
It is.
They're going to put every single retired person either on the street or out of the county or move somewhere else. Because
we're creating incredible stress, brother.
Yeah. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think, and I put money away, but it's like, if I put enough money away, I see so many elderly people who've gone back to work because they can't make ends meet.
Completely agree. There's an 80-year-old woman, God bless them, who's giving you a hamburger at Wendy's, she's not doing it because she likes working hamburgers at Wendy's. She's doing it because she's screwed financially. That's what Chris is talking about, and he's spot on.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.